Chapter 16. Sean determined to show Katrina just how strongly he resented her attitude. He would be polite, but distant. 5 minutes after they sat down to breakfast the next morning, this demonstration of disapproval had deteriorated to the stage where he was unable to take his eyes off her face, and he was talking so much that breakfast lasted an hour. The rain held steady for 3 more days, and then it stopped. The sun came back, as welcome as an old friend, but it was another 10 days before the river regained its sanity. Time, rain, or river meant very little to the two of them. They wandered out into the bush together to pick mushrooms. They sat in camp, and when Katrina was working, Sean followed her around. Then, of course, they talked. She listened to him. She laughed at the right places and gasped with wonder when she was meant to. She was a good listener. As for Sean, if she had repeated the same word over and over, the sound of her voice alone would have held him entranced. The evenings were difficult. Sean would start getting restless and make excuses to touch her. She wanted him to, but she was frightened of the confusion that had so nearly trapped her the first night. So she drew up a set of rules and put them to him.
"Do you promise not to do anything more than kiss me?"
"Not unless you say I can," Sean agreed readily.
"No,"
she saw the catch in that.
"You mean I must never do anything but kiss you, even if you say I can?"
She started to blush.
"If I say so in the daytime, that's different. But anything I say at night doesn't count. And if you break your promise, I'll never let you touch me again."
Katrina's rules stood unchanged by the time the river had dropped enough for the wagons to be taken across to the north bank. The rains were resting, gathering their strength, but soon they would set in once more. The river was full, but no longer murderous. Now was the time to cross. Sean took the oxen across first, swimming them in a herd. Holding on to one of their tails, he had a Nantucket sleigh ride across the river, and when he reached the north bank, there was a joyous welcome awaiting him. They took 6 thick coils of unused rope from the stores wagon and joined them together. With the end of the rope round his waist, Sean made one of his horses tow him back across the river, Ember Janey paying out the line to him as he went. Then Sean supervised Katrina's servants as they emptied all the water barrels and lashed them to the sides of the first wagon to serve as floats. They ran the wagon into the water, tied on the rope, and adjusted the barrels so that the wagon floated level. Sean signalled to Ember Janey and waited until he had made the other end of the rope fast to a tree on the north bank. Then they pushed the wagon into the current and watched anxiously as it swung across the river like a pendulum, the current driving it, but the tree anchoring it. It hit the north bank a distance the exact width of the river downstream of the tree, and Sean's party cheered as Ember Janey and the other servants ran down the bank to retrieve it. Ember Janey had a team of oxen standing ready, and they dragged it out. Sean's horse towed him across the river again to fetch the rope. Sean, Katrina, and all her servants rode across on the last wagon. Sean stood behind Katrina with his arms round her waist, ostensibly to steady her, and the servants shouted and chattered like children on a picnic. The water piled up brown against the side of the wagon, tilting it and making it roll, and with an exhilarating swoop they shot across the river and crashed into the far bank. The impact tumbled them overboard, throwing them into the knee-deep water beside the bank. They scrambled ashore. The water streamed out of Katrina's dress. Her hair melted wetly over her face. She had mud on one cheek, and she was gasping with laughter.
Her sodden petticoats clung to her legs, tripping her, and Sean picked her up and carried her to his own lager. His servants shouted loud encouragement after him, and Katrina shrieked genteelly to be put down, but held tight round his neck with both arms.